That puts me in a mood to preach. Morning. Trust all of you had a nice 4th. Enjoyed the hot dogs. And the brats. I like the brats. But anyway, there are 2 brothers. And they're discussing what side they were on during the Civil War. The younger brother was just kind of obnoxious and a little loud about it all. And older brother tried to calm him down and say, "Now, wait a minute. Don't get so loud. Don't want everybody to hear." He says, "Well, why?" He says, "Because we're neutral." He said, "Neutral? Well, who are we neutral for?" Jesus says, "You're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. There's no straddling of the fence. You're either on God's side or you're not. Period." Appreciate Ted's concept. You know, the Bible says that heaven rejoices, angels rejoice over one person who repents and turns around. I'm anxious for the celebration that's going to come at the end of time, when Jesus takes his bride and presents it to his Father, and there's this great banquet and celebration that's going to be in heaven. I want to see all of you, one of you there, sitting around that table with me. Amen? July 4th, 1776. 56 men pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor as their commitment to a list of principles that they believed were absolute truths. At the top of the list was the unalienable right of all peoples to pursue life and liberty and happiness. We all know that document as it was being signed in Philadelphia, the Declaration of Independence. 56 men who believed that the unalienable right to life was God-ordained instituted the foundation of one of the greatest countries that ever existed on the face of the earth. May I inject, ask you a question. On the subject matter of abortion, how do you think these men would have voted? Who they believed that everyone, every person had this God-given right to life. How do you think they would have voted? You see, because the right of life is the cornerstone of freedom. Are you hearing me? It is the cornerstone of freedom. Any rejection of any form of the sanctity of life will ultimately lead to tyranny. It will. And we're seeing it. We're seeing what is happening in a country that once declared itself to be a free land, when over the years, millions of little babies have been aborted. Life has been counted now as something cheap. And when we get that attitude, people, we are subjecting ourselves to become governed by those who are tyrants, who care nothing about life. All they care about is their own right. So July 4th, 1776, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That they are self-manifested. They are self-evident. They are built within themselves to be true. Nobody should question these. That they are true. 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 That all men are created equal. Equal. That they are endowed. Endowed. By their Creator. Their Creator. With such and certain unalienable rights. Now, I know these guys weren't believers. They didn't think and believe in God. And I know they were deists. And I know there's all kinds of lies that are being propagated out there. You see, when we refuse to acknowledge God and do not want to give God the glory, we take the truth, turn it into a lie. Read Romans 1. Darkness hates light, people. They don't want their evilness exposed, and so whatever would shed light upon their darkness, they're going to do everything to shut the light off. How do you shake the light off? By keeping people ignorant. The Enlightenment period. You remember the Enlightenment age? Is when people were taught to read. Lawlers would go out into the fields, and they would read God's word to anyone and everyone who would listen. It was because the knowledge of God was being read out in the fields to the common man came the Reformation movement that changed the whole picture of man being free to take the Bible. If Luther did nothing else, he freed up the Bible to be read by the common man. That's what he did. And he died for it. He really did. Unalienable means they are not transferable. It means they cannot rightly be taken away by any force, any person, or anything. They are endowed, unalienable, written in stone, cannot be changed, can't be transferred, can't be taken away from anybody. That person, every person, created by God, has these rights to life, to liberty, and to pursue happiness. Right is to make a pursuit. That means to seek and to obtain, to apply one's energy towards. That's why people come to America. They know over here they'll have the freedom to pursue their dreams. You know how many people, when they come here, the first thing they want to see is the Statue of Liberty. They want to fly over it. They want to sail by it. And if they don't get the opportunity, everyone I've ever talked to has come to America that has been from the foreign country. The first thing they wanted to see was the Statue of Liberty. Yeah. The statue that guarantees us life, liberty, and happiness. Now, aren't we Christians supposed to be pursuing the same thing? Isn't that what we're seeking, is life, and liberty, and happiness? Isn't that what we want not to be taken from us? That we'd never lose it? That's what I'm seeking for. It's interesting, the subject of life, and the pursuit of life, the aspect of life. It's amazing when I think about Jesus who said in John 10:10, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The word abundant means an overflowing quality. Remember he said, I have a water that you will drink of that you'll never thirst again. I am the bread of life, and if you eat of this bread, you'll never hunger again. It is to fulfill the fullness of man's hunger. The life that Jesus offers is there to fulfill every hunger that you might have intently as one created in the image of God. And if you don't find it through the knowledge of God, you will be empty. And the reason people pursue alcohol and pursue this and pursue that, rather than pursuing God, is that they are empty people. You cannot be filled with the abundant life only through the person of Jesus Christ. I'm serious. I don't care what anyone says. Jesus is the life. He is the life. He is the truth. There is no truth outside of Him. There is no life outside of Him. He is the creator of life. It is through Him and by Him that all things were made. He is the image of the invisible God. To know Him is to know God and the aspects of God. John 1:4 says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. When we don't turn the spotlight on Jesus Christ, then we're leaving people in darkness. Because Jesus is the light of the world. But are you listening? Darkness hates light. It hates it. They hated Him because Jesus turned light upon their sins and their evilness and their wickedness and their greed. They didn't like it. And so they wanted to expose and turn off the light. And so Jesus said, don't be surprised. They hated me. They'll hate you. Are we not to be the light of the world? Are we not to take our light upon a mountain? And are we not to be doing that so that like everyone can see the light? We're not to put it under a bushel, right? Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and see or glorify your Father who is in heaven. That is what Jesus said. John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 6:48, I am the bread of life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 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 If you're not in Christ, you're dead in your sins, in your transgression. As far as God is concerned, you're dead. The word death means separation. When a person literally dies physically, their spirit is separated from their body. When a person sins, and at that point in time, they are driven, and they were driven from the Garden of Eden, from fellowship with God, isn't that right? So when sin comes, and death means separation, and God warned, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man not only died and began the path to die physically, where his spirit and his soul would be separated, but at that point in time, he was separated from fellowship with God. That's death. And the only way we can be reconciled back to God, to have fellowship with God, so that God can walk with us and we can walk with Him, is in and through the person of Him who came to give us life. And that's Jesus Christ, isn't it? In Him is life, and that life became the light of men. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone. Isn't that what He said when He was tempted? Turned the stone into bread. Man shouldn't live by bread alone. But this is also what He said. John 12:15. Are you listening? The American world needs to hear these words. They need to hear what He said here. He said to them, beware. Be on guard against any form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. What are most people pursuing today? What are most people seeking today? What are they wanting more than anything else? Is substance, things. Isn't it amazing? The more you have, the more you want. There's no S and N. Life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. Doesn't matter. You can have all that the world has to offer, but if you don't have Christ, you're living in poverty. You have nothing. To you and me today, I pray this is your testimony. Colossians 3:3-4 says, for you to have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Jesus is my life. I don't live for anything other than Him. I don't. I love my wife through Christ. I love my children through Christ. I love you through Christ. I am who I am because Jesus is in me. And I serve Him. I live for Him. I pray through Him. He is my Lord. He's my King. He's my everything. It's through Him that I am controlled and constrained and able to fulfill and get up every morning and thank God for another day. I love life because I'm in love with the one who gave it to me. I thank God I was born. I thank God Mom went through all the pain and the agony of bringing me into this life. Because if I hadn't been born, I would never have come to know Christ. I would never have come to have the knowledge that I have and what it means to be a Christian. Now, we've been studying 1 Peter, and I'm just going to share this with you because God gives you formulas. There's no way, question in my mind, there isn't a subject in the Word of God that He doesn't give us a formula or something that you and I can have. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, are you listening? You can turn there, verse 10 if you want, chapter 3. This is God's formula through the Holy Spirit. If you want to desire, he who desires life, anybody who desires life here? Come on, everybody, raise your hand. I want you to participate. You have a desire for life, right? Huh? I like to live, don't you? For me to live is gain, die to gain. It doesn't matter. But whether I live or die, I'm His, right? But listen to the formula. He who desires life and to love to see good days must keep his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must pursue, seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. There it is. He who wants and desires life and to love good days, get control of that thing. Turn your life around and start seeking good. And do good. Do good. Don't just sit around your house looking at TVs and do whatever. Get your hands, your feet, your eyes, your hands out there and become a part of something that is making and doing a difference in people's lives. Do good. Jesus went about doing good. And if we're the body of Christ, then we should be out doing good. If you see somebody in need, you respond. We're the heart of God. The only heart God has on the earth today is your heart, your hands, your eyes, your feet. Let's put them to action. Let's be Christ in the world today. Let's do good. Let's do good. Turn from your sins. Turn from the evil that is in your life. Repent of it. Put it away. That's one of the reasons the Holy Spirit was given to you, right? Was to mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. So that you wouldn't be a slave to sin any longer. Turn away from it. He came proclaiming liberty to the captives. Freedom to the prisoner. I don't know what you've enslaved your body to, your mind to, but he came to set you free from it. That's called liberty. The right to pursue life and liberty. Freedom. Patrick Henry of Virginia is best known for seven words. You know what they were? What were they? What did Patrick Henry say? Give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death. Why did they come here to America? Why did these men risk their fortune, their lives, their families, and everything to write to you and I the Declaration of Independence? That's it. But not only included in that is the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States is in that little pamphlet. How many of you have read it? How did many of you know what these people died for? What they came here pursuing from the King of England, and from the tyranny that came over here to be set free from. It begins by telling you why they wrote up the Declaration of Independence and what they were suffering under the hands of the King of England. And why they came and fled here is so that they could have liberty, freedom. The freedom to pursue life, the freedom to pursue happiness is called liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. Those famous words were spoken at St. John's Church on the eve of the Revolution in 1775. It inspired the Virginians to take up their arms and to begin to defend themselves and their God-given rights. His call was a call to fight and perhaps to die. And I think it's time for the church to wake up and begin to fight. And take up the sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have a battle going on. It's a battle of faith. And I believe with all my heart, we need to be right in the center of it, preaching the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Yes, it may be foolishness to those who are perishing, but to you and I, it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel. What is the gospel? Jesus died for your sin. He was buried for your justification. He was risen to conquer death for you, to set you free and give you freedom. Americans used to shout, give me liberty. Now they shout, give me. Obama, as he's not done anything else, is presenting and creating a country who wants a handout. The people who came here from China, Japan, those foreigners, those aliens, you call them what you want, they're probably the most gracious people in this country because they came here, slept on floors, went through whatever they had to go through so they could have what this country offered. Free enterprise. Capitalism. Have their own business. Work for themselves. Make no handout. They wanted no handout. They just simply wanted the liberty to pursue their dreams. That's all they wanted. And I just love those people over here at Buffet World. I love them. I love those people because I've read and studied about those people and what they go through to create their own business. They'll get one started, the family will take another, they'll start another one, family businesses. Wow. Oh, I believe that's what this country used to be. Sons following their dads, taking over their businesses, etc. Okay? When I was on my senior trip and went to New York City, and one of the opportunities we had was to be taken out to the Statue of Liberty. And I, being young and energetic, I was going to beat everybody to the top. And so I took off. You know how far it is to the top of that thing? I'm on track. I run a half mile. I've set school records in the half mile when I was running a half mile. I mean, man. But I tell you, by the time I got running all the way up those, I got to the top, I was exhausted. But I looked out her eyes. I had to go over here, and I looked out and seen what I could see, and I went over here, and I looked out to see what I can't do that anymore, I guess, but I was able to do that. And that's what I saw. These famous words were spoke at that St. John's Church. Give me liberty, or give me death. My name is Liberty, and I never die. I've been chained, beaten, and oppressed, but I've always lived to rise again. My home is anywhere you are willing to pay the price to be free. Brotherhood is in my voice. Endurance is in my steps. A great part of God is in my teaching. Long ago, I caught a glimpse of heaven in my cause. And I have never let the light of holy destiny go out. I have flickered before dictators and tyrants. But even in the darkness, men have seen my light. And I will hold it up high. I am liberty. I'm yours so long as you desire me. And have proved that this desire, and that you will live for that desire, and you will die for that desire. Because I can be made weak. History proves it. That it has been shown. Let your right to vote become idle. And in your foolishness, you will lose your liberty. Refuse to gather together on the Lord's Day and worship your Creator. And that liberty will crumble at your feet. Become more interested in earthly pleasures and greed. Make government your God and pray for a holy handout from on high. And with such neglect, I cannot become weak and possibly die. But use my strength. And we will both be strong. Give me your heart. And we will both thank God for your freedom. Give me men and women who don't take me for granted, and I will give you a tomorrow beyond your deepest dream. I am liberty. Our Statue of Liberty is the cross. Our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution is the Word of God. And Jesus, quoting Isaiah, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," in Luke chapter 4. "He's put upon me that he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The church was never given to the rich. James says that it was meant for the gospel and for the kingdom to be given to the poor. Jesus even said it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Why? Because they put their faith and their trust in money and in their things and in their possessions rather than in the one who blessed them with it. He said, "I came." He said, "I've sent to me what? To proclaim release, if you will, and to send release to the captives, liberty, and freedom to the captive." Jesus said, "That's why I've come. I've come to set the captive free. I've come to give them liberty." That's what he came proclaiming. And John certainly is the author of that more than anybody else, because John says in 8:32, "You have known the truth, and the truth will make you free." Verse 36, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Christ sets us free, people. He can set you free from whatever you have enslaved your body to. He can set you free from sin and from slavery to it. Jesus can set you free from fear. Fear of man, fear of what's going on in the world. Luke 21 talks about a people whose heart waxes and weeks and flutter. I believe that the heart attacks we're seeing in our country today in 30 and 40-year-olds is because they are fearful of what's coming upon the earth. Fear not, little ones, for I've overcome the world. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what man can do to you. If you're going to fear anybody, fear him who can destroy both your body and your soul. But don't fear man. But he can also and has indeed offered to you and I freedom from death. The grave's empty, people. I'm not afraid to die. I've had Christians show me some of the greatest moments of my life is watching Christians go to be with the Lord. I'm serious. I've seen non-Christians die. I've seen them clothe and hang on to people and see the wrench and the sweat pouring out of their body for fear. I have no idea what they're seeing. But I've seen Christians die with a calmness and a smile. And we'll see you again, Bill. There is no fear in death because Jesus set it free. He conquered the grave. He had destroyed the power of the grave. And according to the book of Revelation, Jesus sits on the white horse and he has the keys of death and hell in his hands. Praise God, he has set me free. I'm a free man in Christ. I'm free to serve him. I'm free to love Marilyn. I'm free to love my children. I'm free to love you with a love that I would never have known if it hadn't been God pouring his Holy Spirit into my heart and sharing with me his love, agape. Amen? How about happiness? Are you happy? I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, 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 happy. I'm so happy, I'm so happy. Why? Because Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm happy. I'm sorry. I walked in there this morning and I was happy and gone, and Chris said, what? Get out of here. No. I'm sorry. I just have the joy of the Lord is in my heart. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We sang that this morning, brother. The joy of the Lord. Happiness is related to things and circumstances, and it can come and it can go. Joy can't be taken from you. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, David prayed. Cleanse me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. Maybe that's what some of us need, is have the joy of what it means to be saved restored into our hearts. Peter said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Look at what he said here. He said to comfort those who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they can be called oaks trees of righteousness. Jesus said, I've come to give you happiness. I come to give you joy. I give you something to live about. When you love life, you love life, period. Happiness. You know the word blessed means happy? You ever read Psalm 1? It begins this way. How blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands not in the path of the way of the sinner, who sits not on the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters. His leaf will not wither. He shall bring forth fruit in his season. And whatever he does shall prosper. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff blown about by the wind. Therefore the wicked will not sit in the assembly of the righteous, nor will they stand in the judgment day. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. How blessed is the man who takes the counsel and meditates and seeks the wisdom that comes from this book, he'll be like a tree planted by the water. And he shall bring forth his fruit in its season. His leaves will not wither, neither ever after the aspects of it. I'm 75 years old last week. How many of you think I'm 75? I can't wait till I get to be 76. 76 trombones and 4 cornet. I'm going to sing that on the Lord's Day. I'm going to close by reading Psalms 128. You want to read anything else, you can read the 5th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, and he gives you the Beatitudes. Each one begins with what word? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you know them? How in the world can you fill your soul if you don't know the Word of God? You got to memorize it. Blessed are they who meditate, meditate, meditate. It's like a cow chewing its cud. Chews on it, chews on it, chews on it, digests it, assimilates it into his spiritual nature. Then he goes back and he chews some more and chews some more. That's the word meditate. It's like a cow chewing on its cud. You got to read it. Read it, meditate, chew on it, assimilate it, digest it, live it. People say, well, you're so happy. Well, I'll tell you why I'm happy, because I believe this book. And this is what it says in Psalms 128. How blessed, how happy is anyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat the fruit of your hands, not a handout, but the fruit of your hands. I believe Paul said, if a man shall not work, neither shall he eat. You ever read that? You will be happy and it will be well with you. How many of you want to be happy and have everything well? Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. I have 5 blessed children. The Lord has given my wife an ability to make me fruitful. I'm a patriarch. I have my own patriarchal system. I have 12 grandchildren. They will produce great-grandchildren. Listen to what it said. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and you may see the prosperity of Jerusalem in the days of your life. Are you listening? Are you listening? Indeed, you may see your children's children, grandchildren. Peace be upon Israel. Read 128th and read it 128th. Read it again and again and again and again, and look at what he says. I've been a blessed man. I shared my life with my children here yesterday and 4th Thursday and whatever. And to see my grandchildren play and interact and swim and see how they take care of the little one and how they tend to them and all the things. All my grandchildren that are ready, they're the best mothers you'll see when they interact with Ava and Leah and take care of them. They're already mothers. Where in the world did they learn it? From grandmother. I'm a blessed man. I thank God for my life. I thank God for my liberty. And I thank God that I'm the happiest man in the world today. Because I got a beautiful wife, a beautiful family. I got great-grandchildren. My father-in-law died at a very young age. And he wasn't able to see his grandchildren grow. And I said then, if God wills and God gives me the strength, I am going to get keep myself healthy, because I'm going to see my grandchildren grow up, and I'm going to enjoy them. Listen for me a minute. Will you remember with me quickly what you have in Christ? You have a love that can never be phantom. You have a life that will never die. You have a righteousness that cannot be tarnished. You have a peace that passes all understanding. You have a rest that can never be disturbed. You have a joy that can never be diminished. You have a hope that can never be disappointed. You have a glory yet to be revealed. You have a light that is eternal within you, a purity that can never be defiled because of His blood, an inheritance that cannot be taken away from you. May we be found in Christ, pursuing life, liberty, and happiness. If anyone wants to get a copy of this so you can read the Declaration of Independence, I can get you one from Hillsdale College. They're one of the colleges that are permeating this country with the idea of what it means to be a free people. Really are. So, thank God. Are you happy you came? Are you happy you came? Are you? You want life? You want liberty and freedom in Christ? You want to have that fulfillment that He offers? It's in Him. It's in Him. It really is. Just thank God. Be thankful in everything. Really, just be a thankful people. And you'll be amazed, the attitude change that will come into your life. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn, Peace Like a River. I got peace like a river. Where?